Saint Red, This Year's Motto by Jordan D. White. Episode 3.5, Burger Break, the stupid joke episode. Red did go to bed shortly thereafter, but unfortunately, he slept through work the next day, since he did not awake for a month. He knew immediately that he had slept that long because someone had been thoughtful enough to flip the page on the calendar by the bed and X out all of the days that had passed. Allison was still nuzzled next to him in bed when he awoke, so he assumed she too had slept the entire time. Getting up to look in the mirror, Red was proud to see that he had a rather full beard. He had always been pretty poor at growing facial hair, so this seemed some sort of good consolation. A thought struck him, and suddenly he glanced at the bed, pleased and puzzled that it was not full of 4 weeks' worth of excrement. Their answering machine was blinking like mad. Red pressed the play button on its face. The first message was from his manager at work.
Beep!
Hey, Alfred. Where are you, buddy? You haven't been here in the past few weeks. Give me a call. Let me know what's going on. Thanks.
Beep!
Red, it's Argento. As I'm sure you noticed, Chelsea and I took care of all the nonsense going on around. I'm sure you saw the bit with the robot on the news. I was surprised you didn't ever pop up again. I guess you just decided to lay low, not going to work and all, like the previous message said. Anyway, you have nothing to worry about now. The hires were so pleased with how things turned out, they've given me Hayden's job and consigned him to the dunk tank in Little Christian World here on the complex. You don't have to worry about DINR coming after you again. We should get together sometime and head down there, dunk the bastard a few times. Anyway, talk to you soon.
Boop!
Alfred, you've put us in an awkward position. Alfred, it's been more than a week since you've been here for work. Now, I hope all is well with you, that you haven't been in some sort of quadriplegic-making car accident, or that you're actually died some sort of horrible death and I'm leaving this message for a decapitated corpse, all pale and discolored from days of blood slowly pouring out your gaping neck and such, but you've left us with no choice but to fire you. So, hope you're not dead. Maybe you just slept the whole time or something. Oh, and don't put me as a reference on any application. I don't like people writing my name down on paper, and I probably won't have anything good to say. Beep!
Hey there, Red, it's Argento again. About all that having Hayden's job thing, well, I was fired. Turns out, making a pact with a satanic priest is not a good plan, regardless of how trustworthy they seem. My fault. I made some mistakes. I'll learn from them. They've got me working a security detail at the complex now, but it's not such a bad job. I'm sure I can work my way back up to desk job in a year or two. Anyway, give me a call sometime. Talk to you then.
Mr. Coates!
Red cringed, partially at his new name, partially at the landlord's shrill voice.
Your November rent is more than 2 weeks late. I know you just got a message firing you from your job, but we really do expect that you keep paying your rent if you expect to keep living here. Next time I come by, please don't just ignore the pounding on your door. I know you're in there. I've seen you through the window, crossing out the days on your calendar. Get back to me soon, before I need to go to extreme measures. Beep.
Red, Argento again. Crazy phone tag here. Anyway, I just got demoted today. Think security wasn't my type of thing. It turns out a press pass shouldn't have been enough to let them into the restricted area. The top secret and restricted signs should have clued me in, but live and learn. I start down in the commissary tomorrow. I think it'll be good for me, working directly with people's needs, giving them what they want on an immediate level. I've never worked that type of job before. Should be good. Well, talk to you soon. Give Allison my love. Boop!
This is an important message from your long-distance telephone service provider. It is very important that you call us as soon as possible about your service with us. The fate of the Earth may depend on it. May. I am not guaranteeing it, but but it might. You can be sure we're not just calling because your payment is late. No, no. It's something of dire importance. Thank you. This has been a recording. Beep.
Hi, Red. This is Argento. Francis Argento. How are things with you? Things have not been... Well, I was fired from the commissary today. Did you know that there are people who actually are allergic to peanut butter? I thought he was making that up. They've decided to just completely let me go this time. I've got an interview at the McDonald's down the street from you, though, and I'm optimistic about it. I hear they need a lot of workers right now. I like hamburgers, so it seems like it could be a good fit. Maybe I'll come by after my interview, see if you're about. Catch you later. Boop!
Red, it's Chelsea. It took me quite a while to track you down. Argento wouldn't tell me your new name or address. Well, Mr. Alfred Coates, I've found you. At least, I hope so. I just realized how odd this would sound if you're not really Red. Acting on the assumption that you are Red, which I think is fairly safe, I'm going to come and kick the crap out of you. I'll be there shortly. And just so we're perfectly clear about this, I'm calling on November 25th at about 10:48 a.m. Beep.
The answering machine stopped. Red looked at the calendar in a panic. There were X's on the calendar from November 1st right through the 24th. It was the 25th. On closer examination, he saw the words, "Fight with Chelsea," penciled in on this very date in his handwriting. A glance at the clock revealed the time to be 11:03. A pounding began sounding on Red's door. Red had to resist the urge to leap back into bed and pull the covers over his head. "Allison!" Red shook her as the pounding continued. "Allison, someone's here! We have to wake up!"
"Mr. Coates! I know you're in there!"
Red heaved a sigh of relief. Sorry, Miss Toinkybink, I don't know what happened. Somehow I slept for the last month, but I can pay you in cash." He opened the door, and Chelsea punched him in the nose. Red fell to the floor.
"Ha! Got you!"
But the landlord...
"Mrs. Toinkybink? You seem like such a nice boy, Mr. Coates. It was me all along. I used my skills in makeup and voice acting to make sure that you would believe that I was she."
"But why?"
"I thought it might seem suspicious if a sexy young woman like myself owned an apartment building. You coming to live here was just a wonderful coincidence."
"Then why didn't you know where I lived?"
"You used a fake name. Who am I, Sherlock Holmes?"
"But I look the same."
"I forgot. Leave me alone. You're just making this worse on yourself."
"Hey there, Red Eye." Whoa. Hey, am I interrupting something?"
"Yes, she was just about to kick the crap out of me."
"Oh, sorry to bother. I just finished that interview I told you about. I got the job."
"Ah!"
Chelsea shrieked, hopping up and down with joy.
"Oh my God, congratulations. I knew you would. I saw it. Come give me a hug."
She skipped towards Argento and threw her arms around him. After she released him, Argento held up two paper bags.
"I brought lunch for everyone. Let's not fight, huh?"
"Oh, I can't stay mad when there's a Big Mac around. Give it here."
Red led the other two into the dining room where they divvied up the burgers and fries and proceeded to eat. "You know, it's clear that the quality of a fast food burger does not in any way stand up against, say, a local restaurant that makes its own burgers fresh. But still... I think I can understand why they remain so popular. I could walk into a chain restaurant anywhere in the country and be relatively certain of what I would get. The food would taste the same as it does at any other of that chain's and would be served in the same manner. There is a comfort in such security, even in a foreign country. If there's an American fast food chain, I get the same food for the most part. Sure, the condiments may change, but at the core, it's the same meal. People complain about the American culture spreading and eradicating other cultures, but it's not about that. It's about making us more comfortable when we go abroad." Wait, why is it that McDonald's has a Big Mac? Shouldn't it have a Big Mick?"
"I suppose it should, yeah, actually."
"You know, the man who made McDonald's what it is today, he originally franchised the restaurant to sell shake machines. He sold shake machines, and he noticed that this one shop, McDonald's, was doing really well with them. So he bought the company so he could franchise it out, requiring those people to buy his machines as well. Little did he know, real money was in the franchise itself. Happy accident, I guess."
"How do you know so much about McDonald's?"
"Well, I don't know."
"Oh, I do. DINR put it there. They figured since they were programming your mind with an English degree, you should know a few things about the fast food industry."
"That makes sense." Allison walked groggily into the room in her bathrobe.
"What's that wonderful smell?"
Chelsea leapt to her feet and screamed. She tore off her top to reveal that beneath her skin-tight shirt, she had been concealing not just a black bra, but also a large array of what looked like dynamite. And for clarification, Dynamite the explosive, like TNT, not just a dynamite pear.
My God, a holy bomb.
That's right. You'd better say your prayers, because soon you'll be saying prayers.
What?
It's a bomb that only affects the soul. It consumes the soul in a holy fire that compels you to give your entire existence over to the service of Christ and his dad.
No!
Yes!
She pressed the big button in the middle of the bomb, the one with the little decal sticker of an explosion on it, with a boom in the center of it. Red suspected she had put that sticker there herself, as it didn't really fit in with the rest of the stylistic motif of the bomb. Also, there were a large number of buttons on the bomb. Red guessed she had been confused by it and had, with the help of the direction booklet to guide her to the blow up now button, placed the sticker there to help in a situation such as this. To be honest with you, the sticker was sort of tacky-looking, but it reminded Red of his childhood, when he would get the He-Man toys that had the sheet of decals you had to put on them. There was this green vehicle. He couldn't remember what it was called, but it was this thing where you put He-Man, or another good guy, in it, strap them in, and then you put this plastic ripcord thing in it. You'd yank the plastic cord thing back out as hard as you could, and the vehicle would zoom away. He thought there might have been a bad guy version as well, probably purple if there was, but he didn't have it, so he wasn't sure. He also had the Castle Grayskull playset, but not the Snake Mountain one. It's not that he didn't like the bad guys. He wanted those sets, too. It was just a coincidence. He had both of the cats, the evil one and the good one. He also had the Orko figure, which was really annoying because you could take off his hat, and so everyone did, since he never took his hat off in the show, and then it would invariably get lost or eaten by a dog or something. The number of hatless Orkos in this world has got to be pretty high. The bomb exploded. End of episode.